Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with Dave Damashek, my dear, dear friend. See, I reversed it there, Dave. Usually I say, dear, dear friend. They're like, oh, who is it? Is it Tony Romo? Who's it?
Always keep Barack us guessing, Obama? Sal.
Yes.
What keeps it exciting for us every day. Yeah.
It's you. It's actually you. Wednesday morning, lots of action last night. Playoff hockey. We don't have to talk about it. We can skip over that. Playoff-ish basketball, playing games were terrible. We'll discuss that. You would think, even with all that going on, there was a no-hitter in Major League Baseball, and I didn't even really put it on the outline until now. Spencer Turnbull of the Tigers no-hit the Mariners, and this is how little a deal this is now with no-hitters in baseball. Can you imagine? Remember when we were young? And not even young. It was like, seems like 15 years ago before everyone had the baseball package. Like, oh, my God. Langston has a no-hitter in the eighth. I really hope ESPN goes to that game or something. Maybe it was more than 15 years ago if I'm using Langston. I don't know. But anyway, right? It just doesn't seem. And then you're like, this is something like you'll read about the next thing. Like, oh, okay, Spencer Turnbull. Oh, Mariners, that doesn't seem like a big deal. Again, well, no-hitters, nothing.
It's the, like we've talked, it's the kid in The Incredibles who wants to be a superhero, who then grows up and he's like, you know, his big line is, once everyone's super, no one is. Once everybody throws a no-hitter, does anyone throw a no-hitter, Sal?
Right.
You know?
Is there an equivalent to this in other sport? Like, all right, like the triple-double is not as big a deal, but it never was to the level of a no-hitter anyway. What is gonna, like, I'm not sure.
I mean, you know,
the cycle in baseball.
There are a lot of good examples in the last 20 to 40 years, I would say. One is kickers. The assumption that kickers in the NFL can make, you know, 50 plus yarders,
right,
you know, with better than 50% accuracy is crazy. That's just not the way the sport was constructed to be played. The three-pointer has, I mean, fundamentally changed basketball in the last 25 years. Once people opened up the possibility of knocking those downs, and it wasn't long odds that I was going to make a three-pointer, that's changed that sport. I think that's the number one.
I mean, those are categories, and I'm just trying to think of like a specific feat, but you're right. Like if you see someone had like 9 three-pointers in a game, like, oh, that's not a big deal.
I think
Steph had 15.
I think after the Devils won the cup in 95 in the NHL, that changed the sport too. And any goalie and in fact, entire games, playoff games were like 1-0, 2-1 games consistently. So number of shutouts and all of that ticked up considerably over that decade.
I get it. You want to talk hockey. You want to brag about the Penguins win over the Islanders. I know you're not a bragger, but the Pens now are -130. To win the series, which is knotted up at 1, but the Isles in game 3 at home are a favorite at -120. Go ahead. A crazy ending at the end. We talked about it just a little bit before the show, but were you going crazy when you're not allowed to catch the puck like a first baseman and toss it into the dugout, right?
First of all, first of all, though, Sal, you talk about no hitters and everything else. This is not what baseball needs. And we need to move the whole thing up to Mount Pius and elect Tony La Russa officially, once and for all, the mayor of Mount Pius.
Everyone's all over him.
What the hell is wrong?
Because
this self-policing motivated by piety is not good for a sport. All this nonsense about what the stupid rules are and everything else. Screw baseball. You're so precious. You know, go play it for the old people who are still paying attention.
Well, he's not being precious. You're against La Russa? Like, I know, like, people say,
I'm against him. Yes, I'm against
it. The ball was almost bounced in the dirt. Like, there are some brushback pitches that are purposeful, but I don't know.
He's on his own player for hitting a home run. What the hell? What unwritten rule of baseball? He's not allowed to swing in 3-0. That's crazy. But you know what? That gets me upset. And then what gets me more upset, or really makes me question, because I think about it, Sal, for real, it's pathetic that, I mean, I have a relatively nice life, you know, we live in a place where it's nice and sunny and warm, I have wonderful children, I have lovely friends and everything else, and I just, like, there are moments, like when I'm watching the third period of the Penguins and Islanders, and the Penguins are are clinging to a 2-1 lead where I just think, like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? It's no way to live, Sal. It's no way to live. It's torturous.
It's the only way to live. What's the alternative?
It's a goddamn misery. But I'm glad I came through clean, and now we're on to Long Island. We'll see.
They had a two-man advantage, Alan. They couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, between pulling the goalie and getting that late penalty, like, two-man advantage, it really looked like, I don't know what, it looked like they were shorthanded. Like, that was the worst advantage I've seen for the last minute and a half. They got to get it going. Their stars.
That was crazy. But I mean, I like I say, you know, prisoner of the moment or not, what happened was, as you described, with about a minute left, the puck is high up on the glass, and Brian Rust of the Penguins in his own end grabs the puck with his mitted hand and throws it out into the neutral zone. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? I mean, that was Chris Webber. I was trying to think of, like, what are the worst ones ever? Chris Webber calling timeout that he didn't have. I mean, I guess this is up there. And if the Penguins lose that game, the series is more or less over. They're not, you know, they're going to Long Island down 0-2. They're probably not going to rally in that spot there. That would go down as one of the all-time blunders, and it still deserves
You would care, but so I don't know if it goes down all-time blunders. I don't know. Good. Oh, my God, remember game two? Yeah, but wasn't there a game 3, 4, 5, and 6? Yeah, but game two, he grabbed the puck. Is it too much stick-em on the gloves? Maybe he didn't mean to actually catch it, corral it, and bring it
all
in.
All right, bum. Talk about the move on, then.
I don't want to move on because Joel Solomon insists that we make a bet on the Pens. He was mad that we didn't make it before the series, Pens Islanders. I said, maybe if it's knotted up at 1, we could do it.
Yes.
I don't know. It's weird to bet city food because we're both in L.A., but I would bet New York pizza up against, well, done what? You have to present something. I don't, what's good? I don't want anything from Pittsburgh food.
All right. I see someone came to play.
Today. What do you got?
Someone's feeling.
Make it interesting here.
Someone's caddy today. I don't know. All right, let's do it. Let's do $90,000.
All right. I was thinking like a pizza pie from Prince Street Pizza in New York, and you put something else up.
All right. Listen, you like a pizza? You want to try Pittsburgh pizza? Let's go with a mayo.
I don't think
that's
I do.
Favorite.
Is it good? What do you
think? This is unnecessary. And I don't understand this ongoing trend of of what's happening this week. We lose Rennie Stennett. You know, Pittsburgh Pirates, great. We lose comedy legend Charles Grodin. That's a gut punch, obviously. And, you know, then I on -3, where we talk about Northeast sports, that's my home. You know, that's my home. Mm-hmm. I invite a guest into my home, and he walks in with muddy feet and drags filth all over the place.
That was great.
Nick Costas, Giants fan, New York City sports fan supreme, comes in and gets into me about my QB, my first ballot Hall of Fame QB. I don't like any of this, and now you're impugning the high grade food of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Oh, I don't get it.
High grade food. Well, yeah. Listen, we'll give Charles Grodin his due at the end of the podcast.
Primanthes. How about that? Primanthes it is.
All right. I guess it has to be Primanthes, and I'll come up with like Prince Street Pizza or something for you. He paid his debt. He owed $20, and he paid it, right? I challenged you to name over 5.5 of the 10 Forbes richest athletes, or as far as 2021 went, and you did 5, I think, or 4. Anyway, you paid up. It was good. I only had to wait a day, but you got it. I got $20. It's nice. I think Joel Solomon thinks you owe him, too, but we lost him.
What do I owe Joel Solomon?
He thinks he made the bet, too, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that ever went through.
I took the under. It's okay. He'll pay me back some way, and received my $20.
There you go. All right, so you have we're having a pizza versus a Primanthe. What do I get? A sandwich for your pizza? Like, I don't know.
No, I'll get you. How about I'll get you, you know, 4 different meats or 5 different meats. I'll get you so you can sample it. You can lay it out for the fellas under your roof, and you can all taste test it.
All right, let's do that. This is a little weird because we're both in LA, like I said. And, you know, I don't know of any great pizza in Pittsburgh. I could check it out because I have an app where people could rate pizza and they give a score. And then I eat it and give a score.
I mean, I get it.
Oh, wait, that's not me.
Yeah. This is why Los Angeles suffers. It's because New York City people, the only city that they would ever dare leave their precious five boroughs to live in is Los Angeles. And they do it primarily for the industry to come out into entertainment. But they would never live anywhere else unless they're in retirement and they move to Florida. I don't know if you heard, one of the former New Yorkers now lives in Florida, is in a bit of hot water legally.
New Yorkers? Oh, yes.
I heard about that. Yeah. But mostly people in New York never leave New York. And and that's because the only thing that matters to New Yorkers is New York itself. Everywhere else sucks in their minds. L.A. suffers, you see, because in comparison to New York, it's not that L.A. is bad. It's just that it's not New York City. So everybody in New York has created... New York controls the national opinion more than the rest of us realize. And so New Yorkers go on. And in fact, they're the ones writing the scripts on TV and movies. And so that's a recurring theme. L.A. sucks. It's a bunch of phonies and everything else. It's not New York. And so we all accept that L.A. sucks and everybody's a big phony out here. But that's perpetuated by New York City.
Right. And it's just you. Pizza, it's a phony. Yeah.
Pizza is one of those. Is one of those things. The notion that that only New York City can make a good pizza is one of the more loco postures that New Yorkers like to
take. The other thing is you have to look to find the great pizza in New York. I feel like people go to Times Square. It just gets me crazy. People go
to Times Square
and you go to Midtown, right, Mikey Meatball Spaghetti? You guys, you go to Midtown and get pizza and you're going to get like a C+ pie. You just are. You got to go downtown. You got, of course, some of the boroughs, Long Island, whatever. You got to look. It's not all great pizza. It's not all great Chinese food. You could be disappointed. Do your research on pizza. But
Spaghetti could do a whole Staten Island corner. He could just give you Staten Island's where the best pizza is. That's the best pizza in New York.
Is that Spaghetti. It? Yeah. Spaghetti, go ahead. Just throw one establishment at us for people to look at. Maybe this is where I'll send Dave pizza if the Islanders lose. But
well, if you want to go to Queens, New Park's pretty good. Brooklyn, I'd say probably Schimoni Gardens. Staten Island, my favorite's Nona's, but the most popular one is Danino's, right next to the Ralph's Italian Ices. So those probably the three that come to mind. I would say to go, and I agree with you. So do not go to Times Square for pizza. It's the worst.
Well, and I see people in Times Square and it's clearly tourists and they have like the Yankee cap and they're like, just like, they're wearing all the tourist garb and I want to lay my body in front of the Sparrows in Times Square. It's like, no, don't do it. They're charging $6 a slice and it's fucking awful. Just don't do it. Please open up Yelp for 4 seconds. You'll find better. But yeah, that's.
By the way, can I say one thing? L.A. has very good pizza options.
Yeah. Again, you got to look, but yeah, there's sure. About a 6 or 8, I would say, are great. I don't know. I mean, there are new good ones popping up all the time. All right, let's stop talking about pizza.
All right.
I will say this, hockey, before we get off hockey, 6 of the last 7 games have not gone to overtime between Monday and Tuesday. So I think there are 5 today. Bet 3 of them to go OT. You'll get it. You'll get like plus 290 odds on them and at least 2, maybe 3. Go to overtime.
Well, kudos to you. Yes. You did call overtime in game 2 between the Caps and Bruins. You did. I said 60-minute win for the Bruins, and I was wrong. Obviously, it went to overtime.
You did the old Andy Rooney 60-minute win, and it didn't win, right?
No, I did. I don't want to pat myself on the back for a loser, but in the coldest of all cold snaps, I cannot get anything right. But I did say Taylor Hall and Marchand for right. goal. So that was good. But, styles make the matchup, and this Capitals Bruins series, they are both big, big, heavy teams, and they bang each other around real good. It's been an enjoyable series 2 games through. But the one you got to circle in my book is they're just for fun. The Avs are not that much better than the Blues or anyone else. Mm. I mean, the Avs are the favorite, it would seem. I like your Lightning pick from the other night. I agree with you about that. I think that series was over by the end of game 1. They took the Panthers' best punch. They survived it, and you could see game 2 coming. The Lightning now up 2-0 on their way back to Tampa. But the Blues are plus 280 to win the game. The money line Blues are 280. You got to do that just for fun.
It's a lot. Sometimes it's just teams just get trucked, but for the most part, yeah, it's overtime, it's close games, it's 1-1, it's 2-1.
Right.
Maybe there's an empty netter. Let's talk about basketball. The East play-in game. So this is 7-10. No, this is, sorry, 7 versus 8, 9 versus 10. I think 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9 would be better. The Hornets, see, this is a case against this. This is a fun little thing, the play-in series. But the Hornets bounced by the Pacers, and it was never a game. In fact, we did our race to 10 thing. Parlay Kid says, let's take the Pacers, minus 113. They were up 3-0. It was tied 3-3, and then they went on an 8-0 run. There was no drama. We won the race to 10. And then we all went off and lost other bets. But that was a win. And the Hornets just got crushed. And then it's like, all right, this is why a 10th seed maybe shouldn't be in this. And then the Celtics beat up on the Wizards. That was unsatisfying, too. I don't know. Maybe single elimination is the answer for this. I think it would be a lot more
I like the shaming aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that if like you lose, it's like, all right, now you got to go play again. And if you lose, now we're sending you home. How do you like that?
Yeah.
You know, there's something enjoyable, as I always talk about. I believe in merit. And so I like giving demerits to the teams that don't deserve to be there. But yeah, well, I mean, the headline for me is I said the Wizards. And so, of course, they had to lose. Congratulations, Celtics.
Yeah, we all love the Wizards. Everything was pointing to the Wizards. Boston hadn't won a meaningful game in like 3 weeks. And the Wizards, oh, you know, 17 to 21 games, triple double for Westbrook. Beal was that. Beal, it looked like he played a little hurt, but now they have to host the Pacers tomorrow night, and the loser is bounced, and the winner gets the 8 seed. Celtics go on to play the Nets. Lots of history now. Kyrie against Boston. That'll be fun. Nets are -8. They're an 8-point favorite in game one. Kyrie doesn't care about basketball as much as, I don't know that he ever cared. But anyway, that'll be a fun series. At least there's a rivalry in game one, right?
What's interesting to me about that is this is something that I kind of knew intuitively, but confirmed it with two New Yorkers, is it kind of jumped out at me as I was talking with Eddie Spaghetti and Nick Costas on -3. No one in the tri-state area cares about the Nets. It's they're the team that's supposed to win the whole title. Mm. Everybody is, you know, exponentially more excited by the 4-seed Knickerbockers than they are than the Nets. It's a weird dynamic going on there.
It was a good bet that the Nets would become pot, right? Okay, so they trade for Harden. They get Harden. It's like, okay, they're going to be New York's team, right? All we need is we got to get this pandemic out of the way immediately. That didn't happen. And we need the Knicks to suck. Well, that always happens. We didn't get it. So there's no momentum, I don't think, on the Nets side or new fans to the Nets or anything like that.
Yeah, the giant sun that is the Knickerbockers obscured the rise of the moon named Nets in Brooklyn there. But yeah, it's interesting. And I'll keep, I keep saying it, but yeah, I'll ride with the Nets certainly over the Celtics here. And it's a funny bit of symmetry that, 12 years ago now, the original Big Three, not LeBron's in Miami, but the original Big Three was up in Boston there. What was they? 13, 14 years ago already. And
that's right.
LeBron then picks up on that and goes to Miami and does his thing. Then he leaves that to join Kyrie in Cleveland, wins a title, and now Kyrie against the original Big Three. Somehow there's a math to it. Yeah.
Come on. I didn't see all this. Spoiler LeBron, alert, as you mentioned, they host, the Lakers host the Warriors. This is the 7-8 game, and the loser will play the winner of Memphis and, what am I thinking, in San Antonio. So Memphis is a 4-point favorite, 224. Lakers, 5.5 and 218. You know, Dave, when I was in law school, yes, I went to law school, we had a property exam, and this was, you had one test, and whatever your grade was, that was your grade for the semester. So that was it. It was a property exam, and it was an open book exam, and there was 200 people in the class. And so everybody had their notes, they had their book. It didn't really matter that it was open book because it was just so much to know. And if you were lost, you were lost. I guess you could get some verbiage, you know, you could get it down to what you wanted to say and not sound stupid with the open book, but all right, it was an advantage, but it wasn't really an advantage. So Professor Hunt, in the beginning of the class, comes, and right before the exam, he says, "No books!" And he says, "Put your books away!" And grown men and women are crying now. They're weeping.
No books. This open book exam. Everyone needed their open book as a crutch. And I'm laughing because you know how it is with me. If anyone in the room is more upset about anything than me, then it's a win. Even if it's detrimental to me. It's a weird thing in my head. Anyway, I think Commissioner Silver, right before this Lakers-Warriors game, should say, single elimination right before the tip. And that's it. That's it. You're eat. Steph, you're out. LeBron, you're out. One of you is gone. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's a good idea. I say go the other way. Why don't we make all these tests like best of seven? Like, oh, you screwed it up that one. you failed. But guess what? You can come back and, you know.
That's no fun. That's
no, like, that is excellent. I mean, you really do stink. You're the all-time mixer. I have been victimized by exactly what Sal is talking about. I think people want to live the life that Sal lives. I think people they think themselves capable of hanging with Sal. I've watched people want to tangle with him. You know, like you got to be. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And they want to mess with Sal, but like, listen, are you willing to pay the price? I've watched Sal.
Thank you.
I've experienced Sal stay up all night, even though he wants to go to bed. But it's more important to not let me go to sleep. So he has to keep himself awake just to torment me. Never mind the torture he's causing on himself. That's the price that Sal's willing to pay.
Thank you.
Are you willing to pay it? I don't know. I mean, you are, Sal, but the listener, are you willing?
Me?
I'm not. I don't want it. I make deals.
Professor Hunt. Cecil Hunt.
I do plea deals. That's what I do. I just try to knock it down and you know, have a breezy. I'll flip. I'll flip in a second. If you need me to roll over on Eddie Spaghetti or Babyface Joel or otherwise, I am in. I don't want the smoke from Sal.
Okay,
that's for
good.
Sure.
Good. We'll talk after the show then. I have plans for both those guys you mentioned. and so anyway, it's not going to be single elimination. Professor Hunt is probably not going to step in and decree that this is you lose, you go home for good. But LeBron versus Steph, let's say this, Dave. Your life depends on it. Just your ear. Your left ear depends on it. You lose an ear. One-on-one, you have to pick LeBron or Steph, game to 11.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Well, I've always referred to with this, and in fact, I think we should replace NBA All-Star Weekend with just a big one-on-one tournament, or in fact, two one-on-one tournaments. Everybody 6'10 and under, and 6'9 and under, and 6'10 and up. Because you'd need two brackets. Because in the early 80s, one of the little scene events, I'm pretty sure that Jim there, a producer Jim, said that he wasn't even aware this existed. Once Dr. J and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played on closed caption TV, can you imagine pay-per-view if this went on? And I think everybody would pay for it right now if the two best in the sport did this. They played one-on-one against each other on pay-per-view. And Kareem smoked Dr. J. The length is impossible to defeat.
It was like a child, like trying to get the ball.
Right? It was ridiculous. He was trying to back him in. He was trying to back in Kareem, and there was nothing you could do. However, Steph has limitless range. So how far rightly can LeBron chase him out? I mean, like, if Steph's hitting 34-footers, what's LeBron really going to be able to do?
Right.
I got to take LeBron. If LeBron gets the ball, though, Steph can't stop him. If it's make it, take it, if LeBron makes a basket, I don't see where Steph's getting the ball back. He can just back him in the rest of the game.
Yeah, I'm going LeBron also. First of all, he's going to call every – is there a referee? And he'll take it to the hoop every time, and he'll either make it or he'll call a foul, right? Now, if the threes are worth twos, if the game's to 11 by one and the threes are worth 2 points – then Curry has the advantage, right? He'll just run around, right? But how about that? You hit on something. Forget the 7, 8, 9, 10 thing. This, you want ratings? This is the game. I don't care about Caldwell Pope shooting a jumper in the third quarter. LeBron versus Steph, one-on-one. That's which team advances right there.
I love
it. Ball on your shoulders.
That would be lots of fun. Yeah. I'm typically philosophically against the way they settle the World Cup, that it all just boils down like, oh wait, we're 37 minutes away from penalty kicks. Let's just nobody do anything until that arrives. It creates the the worst product, in my opinion, to my untrained soccer eyes. But yes, it would be funny if all the sports just did that. You know, like, forget overtime. Hey, Justin Tucker and Chris Boswell, settle this old school from the 50-yard line with kicks.
It'd be the best. It'd be the best. LeBron already said that Steph's the MVP, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Take him on, MVP. And also, he's courting him to come to L.A. for when Steph becomes a free agent. Oh, the storylines would be endless here. And if Curry pulled the upset, that would be fantastic, too.
Yeah, I mean, it really is fun to think about. Football is great because of the one-and-done nature of it. But the sport... I can't imagine watching my hockey team, like, it all is one game. That would make me sick. I wouldn't be able to watch it. But I mean, a baseball game, like if the playoffs were just you watch those one game playoffs, and I guess you get a pretty fair sense of
yeah,
when it's the 163rd game. No, but
isolated
to
the players, the two best players. Let's see it. Especially in this situation where they just really created the 7, 8, 9, 10 thing anyway. Why the hell not? Why couldn't we do it? Hey, PGA Championship. This is fun. Golf fans. FanDuel is letting new users place their first bet on the PGA Championship risk-free up to $1,000. Yes. Very exciting. I'm betting Koepka to not make the cut, Dave. That's crazy. He's a majors machine, right? But you can get him for like plus 162, I think, on FanDuel to not make the cut. Since that knee injury, he hasn't been the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's banged up still, right? He's not 100%.
Yeah, he hasn't seen the weekend in like 12 weeks. I mean, he's survived in his life. He's seen the weekend, but he hasn't played golf competitively on the weekend. Although maybe it's competitive. I don't know what he's doing on the weekend.
As long as we're fixing sports, let me fix the PGA Championship. This is an obvious one.
Go ahead.
Match play is the way to do it. PGA Championship has no vibe whatsoever. It is just plainly this throwaway tournament that they call a major. They should jazz it up, make it distinctive, and give it a little match play. Then everybody will pay attention. It would be different at least, right?
All right. I think so. You mind if I get back to the ad read?
wait, hold on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to fix every sport.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Just place your first bet using promo code Extra Points, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Yes, bet golf on America's number one sports book. Always great promos, easy to use. It's safe and secure and fast payouts. You get paid in as little as 24 hours. But most of all, love that you can bet anything on golf. Like I said, make or miss the cut. I like Spieth to win it. But I don't know. That might be too obvious. It's crazy. It's the top 100. So there's so many different ways to go about it. Outright winner, make, miss the cut, head-to-head matchups, tons of other tournament props. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up using promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. Again, that's promo code Extra Points. Dave, we don't have golf picks, or at least I don't. I'm going to give a basketball pick that's very special to FanDuel because it's part of the same game parlay.
Excellent.
I'm going... LeBron, 20 or more points, the Lakers to score over 112.5, and the Lakers -9.5. That gets you +260, two meetings against the Golden State Warriors. They won by 57 points. LeBron had a triple-double last time they met, and the Lakers shot 63%. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think it stinks. I think the Lakers are going to blow them out, and you get +260 for that. LeBron, 20 or more, Lakers over 112.5. And the Lakers -9.5. Dave, you have a less obvious one in hockey on the ice. What do you like?
Yeah. By the way, I agree with you on that one. So I don't mean to put the stink on them. I'm going to go with, like I say, I'm going to roll the dice. It's an exciting time on the sports calendar with these playoffs. And the Avs, while the favorite to at least survive their division, if not win the whole thing, I mean, come on. Who do we think this team is all of a sudden? The Blues won the Stanley Cup just a couple of years ago. Right. Their game bunches they showed in game one. Give me the road team in Denver, Colorado, who, by the way, wear ugly uniforms. I don't care. That's a distraction to me. Give me the Blues +280 on the money line.
I agree. I'll imagine how tough are the Avalanche going to be once they get Aaron Rodgers. My God. I mean, if they're just rolling through, it's a different thing.
I don't know.
Too many sports going on, Dave. Speaking of football, though, Mike Davis, did you see this? This is fun.
Yes.
This is how we want to keep football alive. Like we had free agency, we had the draft, We had the schedule release. Like, okay, there's a little bit of a lull here. Now let's focus on Mike Davis's legs. Hill producer Jim Cunningham, pull that up. There's a picture of him in training camp, I guess. I don't know what's going on. And his legs are ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know, to call them tree trunks isn't fair, right, Dave?
No, it's really something. When we were growing up, the guy who everybody referenced was your pal Robert Newhouse. They always talk, it was for the youngsters out there, it was the equivalent. There you see him. It was the equivalent of Tom Brady's a 6th-round draft pick and Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard level mentions of this. It was always like, Robert Newhouse, do you know that his thighs measure out? Like, I don't know. Why do we have to keep talking about this this guy's thighs? Then it became Earl Campbell and so on. And here we are now at Mike Davis. And it's just it looks like an optical illusion, or like the camera blew them up, or I don't know what. Yeah.
Well, here's what's weird. First of all, that we're talking about it, and this is what we're reduced to as men in 2021. Like, you know, we can't talk about Amal Clooney's legs because that'll seem creepy. But as 50-plus-year-old men, we have to marvel about this fourth-string fantasy running back's legs. But my God. And if you're Mike Davis, are you like, yeah, I've been like this for years. Why is everyone just noticing? Did he commission someone to take the picture and say, hey, my average draft position in fantasy snake is 106. I like to drop that to the high 80s. Take a picture of these crazy legs.
I think you just said it, Sal, and I think you are right. I think that there will be, I don't know, in our league, probably Dan Dratch, who is easily seduced by buzz. Like, I heard that rookie who was the 5th-round draft pick is going to make it, and they will overspend in their auction, he and Hench, to get that running back. It'll be like, yeah, he's the 4th-stringer, man. Like, you just heard the wrong. There will be somebody in every fantasy league that overdrafts Mike Davis because of that pick.
Because of the big legs.
Yes. People will think, like, well, look, he must be good.
Yeah.
There will definitely be some dope in every fantasy league that overreaches to get Mike Davis because of this photo.
He's part of that Falcons backfield, right? Which you don't, you have no idea who's getting the ball or anyone. They'll probably just hand off to Kyle Pitts that. But anyway, all right, Mike Davis, good job by you with those legs. I do wonder what his take is. Like, yeah, what took so long to see this? Like, Metcalf gets all the praise because he has his shirt off. What do I have to do? But I'm looking at him.
Because he's like Metcalf. I'm Mike Day Thigh.
I see. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it looks like once in a while you get like a UPS driver, be like, oh my God, what the hell is that? I don't know. It's I'm mesmerized by this picture of Mike Davis and his cartoonish legs. Also mesmerizing, you remember, you're a Game of Thrones fan, right?
Check. Of course.
The Mountain from Game of Thrones. Now he and Hafþór Björnsson, is that his name?
Yeah, I think he tried out for the Colts at one point, right?
He's done it all, and now he's getting into boxing, and he lost 100 pounds. Jim, pull that up. I'm not sure which physique would you rather have out of these two. I mean, I think he lost. Did he weigh 400 pounds? Is that what I was reading? Because everything's in kilometers, not kilometers, but whatever the friggin' weight is on the other side.
I'm still not over all these years later over what happened, the events at the Red Wedding. The unspeakable events, but not too far off is what he did to the Viper. The Viper got cocky for just a second. That was long enough to.
Well, he ripped his face off, right? Was that that?
He blew his eyes up in his head. He just crushed his skull. It was terrible. He knocked the Viper down. And I mean, it was like 2 seconds later, and you're like, Jesus Christ, he's going to die. He's going to kill the Viper. Blew his head up.
Yeah, he went from 205 kilograms, I guess, to 155 kilograms, which they say is the equivalent or translates from a weight loss to 452 pounds to 342 pounds. He was 450? My God. And now he's 340 in that picture?
There was nothing about him that you would think like, yeah, he's carrying a little bit extra weight around the gut area there. He's not like an offensive lineman or something. He looked like a jacked up, like that's his, you know, probably a guy who lifts a lot of weights, but he's not carrying 3 extra pounds. One of those guys who seems like his body fat would be, I don't know, what's good body fat? I don't know.
Well, you see the difference. You definitely do see a difference there. Okay, there you go. I don't know. I think I'd rather have the before. I want the before physique. I mean, that you walk in a room like that. Look, everything's great. Look, I mean, it's amazing. The after is also, but I don't know. I mean, you you carry a special kind of gravitas if you walk in the room with the before version of Hop.
I'm inclined to agree with you, but for the listener who can't see what we're looking at right now, I think that you need, it's kind of like, I always tell young parents, I hate people who give advice to new parents because as though they're wizards about raising children because they had them themselves. But one key little detail, always take pictures of your little ones next to a grown up because it's the scale that you, that is so striking. When you look like, oh, look how little, oh my God, remember when they were, he or she was so little. The mountain dwarfs any other human being. Like they should put, you know, put him next to a normal human being and either one would be so daunting that I don't know what. But yeah, it's he is.
Well, now he's going to box as a Jesus 340 pounder.
Oh, I thought it was MMA. I thought you were saying fight.
Yeah, well, I thought so too, but I guess he had a fight. He had an actual fight against another strong man and starting in January, he like started his boxing career. But yeah,
that doesn't make sense, does it? He's too big to be successful as a boxer, right?
I think so.
Although I guess those heavyweights now, that is their chief physical trait, is that they're super long now. Am I right about that? That most of the successful heavyweights from Tyson Fury on down are all that's 6'6".
I mean, Tyson Fury is the gold standard. And yes, you need a chin to survive a guy like that. But it's a guy, depending on if he wants to go on a drink for 3 months straight, that's our champ. Otherwise, it's a wide open division, right? Joshua, I don't know. There's a lot of inconsistency in the heavyweight division. He's got to do something. He can't just walk around and say, hey, remember me? I was the mountain and lift kegs for fun, right?
Our brains, I think our brains work. That's why more than any other reason, and it's not political correctness or whatever that we woke up as a society and said, look at the damage these people are doing to each other. Obviously, we continue to watch it happen in other sports. The thing that hurts boxing more than anything else, including MMA, is the sense that the heavyweight rank doesn't matter anymore because all the best athletes 50 or 70 years ago, if you were a giant human being, you would be a prize fighter. Now you're playing tight end or power forward. So this is great for this is great. I hope the mountain is good. I hope this is good because you know now. All the ranks underneath just don't have the, heavyweight champion of the world still has a ring to it.
Should he just fight Jake Paul now? Just get that out of the way.
Yes.
Do that. Everyone has to fight Jake Paul before they become serious or after they become serious in the case of, Mayweather, or I guess he's fighting Logan Paul. Who the hell could keep track? Jim, what happened? You have some inside information on this.
I like that idea, Sal. Like you can't, we can't take you seriously until you beat Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Like that's the minimum standard. He's
like
just
passing
there.
Your physical. Right.
Right. Exactly. I like that.
We had Braun Strowman on the wrestling podcast I used to work on, the Masked Man Show. And I asked him who would win in a fight between him and the mountain. And he said immediately, I'll kick the shit out of the mountain. They used to be in like strongman competitions together. He's like, you could ask him. He knows. I'll kick the shit out of him.
See, the problem is the strongman competition is not the tough man competition, right? It's like,
right. That's a butterbean.
You could lift cars over your head, like a Nissan Maxima over your head. It doesn't translate to, you're going to be able to choke out any individual you come up against. But yes, butterbean, if you look at him, he's not winning any strongman competition. That's a good example, Jim. But kicks the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, most of the guys that look like the mountain who are just zero body fat, completely jacked, are not, that doesn't look around professional sports. How many of those guys are that level of specimen? They're not really. Like offensive linemen and defensive linemen are intentionally carrying an extra 60 pounds of just pure blubber on them. You know, they don't look that way. And the other chief ingredient that I or detail, Sal, I've watched Sal take down guys twice his size.
Thank you.
It's true. You have.
I shouldn't be able to take Ray Oldhoffer down, right? With all the stories behind. But yeah, you got to, I don't know. Like, and I have minimal wrestling skills. And if you know a little about everything, you're going to do well in the tough man.
But meatballs would beat you?
Yeah. Anyone would beat me now. I got, it's no good. We had that Mark Schlereth, though, former heavyweight champ, wrestling champ, high school in Alaska. And I kind of laughed at him. Well, he didn't get mad, but I was like, all right, You're a high school champ in Alaska. What do you go from igloo to igloo? Like, I didn't imagine he had, he's like, screw that. We had 150 kids in our room. I was like, 150 kids in the wrestling room. I can't imagine. We had like 15 a year.
And what else is there to do there? You know, you got to find something to do indoors. But, you know, it's the same thing as, well, I continue to threaten to do it, and I keep seeing these ads. By the way, NBC knows that the Olympics are going to get canceled probably, right? Where they keep running these ads like without any asterisk.
I thought it was coming in July unless
they get canceled. But they don't do that. They're like, Simone Biles, remember that? More of that coming up this summer.
Thank God, by the way. Thank God they're holding out hope. Because these NBA finals would have gone to September. I mean, that was the big thing. We have to get the NBA finals and the hockey, the Stanley Cup finals have to end before July 21st, 22nd. And it looks like they claim that's going to happen, but I don't know. I can't see it.
You know, I have 2+ years then to actually come through on my threat to everybody. I'm tired of this jive of people being like, I'm an Olympic athlete. I'm on the U.S. luge team or I'm on the U.S. bobsled team. Like, guess what? You know how I get on it? I announce I'm willing to do it. How many people can there? It's the same thing as being an Alaskan wrestler. There have to be like 2 people willing to do it. So all you have to do is volunteer. Guess what? You're on the U.S. bobsled team. You can be you can be the second or third guy. Why is bobsled that one of the most right there in plain sight for all of us? Every 4 years, we watch this bobsled thing and we watch the 2-man bobsled. The one guy steers it and then the other guy pushes it. Who came up with, I mean, it really is probably someone like you or me, one of our forefathers, Sal, who's like, I want in on this. I don't want to actually have to do any hard work to contribute, but I do want the glory of a medal. So like they have the 2-man. That's it. You 2 guys sit in, both have a job.
Yeah.
Why the 4-man bobsled? What the hell do the 2 in the middle do? They're just along for the ride. You and me may as well go out for it. In fact, forget the luge. You and me are going out for the 2024 U.S. men's bobsled team. You and me are 2 and 3. We'll sit in between guys and we'll come home. Maybe with any luck, we'll have a medal around our neck when we return from wherever they're holding these things.
I don't know. I get too claustrophobic. I couldn't sit like in a car.
I'm
with
not sitting
people.
Behind you. Believe me. Trust me. There's no way. The only rule is I'm in front of you.
Well, in front's not great either. I don't know what you're hoping for.
The guy who's pushing from behind, just hold your gas. Please hold your gas until his job is complete of pushing the thing.
We'll
to
gas
top speed.
Our way to the finish line. Yeah,
then
you
then you hit the gas, and that's the secret ingredient that takes us to victory.
That's perfect. Man, Charles Grodin, 86 years old. I thought about like, oh my God, 86, and then I considered like, well, that would make him about our age in Midnight Run, and that makes sense. But 80, so basically sad, that's dude. Bad news for us.
Yes.
But anyway, Charles Grodin, Heaven Can Wait, great. Saw it, Midnight Run, one of my favorites. Top 10, I think, for me, favorites. And he was terrific. He was a Duke, right? The Duke, Mardukas, and De Niro was Jack Walsh. Great duo. What'd you think of Pittsburgh native, huh?
Pittsburgh native. I think because of, in the early days of HBO, or at least in the early days of HBO in our house, seems like old times. It was like HBO at a certain time only had, it seemed like, about 4 movies at any given month, and they would just run them on a loop.
Right.
And so my sister Debbie and I have seen, we've seen Empire Strikes Back in the hundreds and Flash Gordon in the hundreds, but also Seems Like Old Times is way up there too. I've seen Charles Grodin and Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase. It's a delightful early 80s picture if you've never seen it, but still doesn't come close to being even as good as you say, probably a top 20 movie. If you like, what is great about Hollywood movie? I think Midnight Run is kind of that timeless classic. I really do feel like it's hard to, if you enjoy things, if you like stuff, it would be hard to say like, yeah, Midnight Run is pedestrian. It's just a nice, fun picture.
The dynamic, right? The 2-man dynamic or 2-woman or man, 1, whatever it is in comedy. And I like John Candy and Steve Martin and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This, I feel like, is a notch above the relationship between De Niro and Grodin in Midnight Run. There are a few of them.
And
odd couple buddy pictures I mean, obviously that's a big one, but yeah, it's about as well done as you'll ever see it done this side of Newman and Redford. But
go watch Midnight Run. It does hold up. I showed it to my 15-year-old a few months ago. It holds up. It's a lot of these older movies are slow, and it's like, but watch this. Like, all right, Dad, really? I waited 25 minutes for that exchange in the diner. Like, now this goes.
It does have a very funny, but also timeless. It's very, it's paradoxically dated and yet also timeless at the same time is the score of that movie. There's something about the scoring of that's oddball to your 21st century ears, and yet it works for that picture. But the other one that so many people have not seen for some, I guess it's just an old movie at this point, is Heaven Can Wait. Go watch that. If you're a sports fan, you'll love it. And then that brings me full circle back. It reminds me to this being a bad week from the way society at large regards the city of Pittsburgh. They take Grodin away from us. Mm-hmm. And in Heaven Can Wait, Charles Grodin has to watch on the TV. Part of the plot line of that is Charles Grodin is in the mansion with because he's making time with Diane Cannon in that picture, and they're watching on the TV the Pittsburgh Steelers lose in overtime to the Los Angeles Rams. This is Hollywood's ongoing. I don't know why Hollywood wants to come down on the city that saved our society in the mid 20th century against the Nazi Primanti scourge. Because
sucks. That's why.
No. And let me tell you something. Primanti. I don't like that in Heaven Can Wait they make the Steelers lose in overtime to the Rams. I don't like that in Sudden Death they attack the Civic Arena while a Stanley Cup final is going on. I don't like in Super Bowl 10 in Black Sunday it gets attacked. It's marred by the Goodyear blimp flying in with terrorists being carried underneath it. And I don't like in The Natural that Roy Hobbs hits the home run to send the New York Knights to the World Series while shards of glass dangerously fall on the Pittsburgh Pirates outfielders. I don't like any of it.
When I thought about this morning, I'm like, all right, we'll talk about Charles Grodin. We'll give him his due. We'll pay tribute. I mean, it's the one topic that Dave won't steer back to the fucking 1960s Pittsburgh sports. And boy, do I feel like an idiot.
You were wrong.
How did I not see
this
coming?
Now you've learned your lesson.
Joel, we have to think further into this thing. I mean, it was right in front of us.
There is always a way. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I was just going to say way more.
6 degrees of goddamn Bill Mazeroski.
Six degrees of Chip Ham in that.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Rest in peace, Charles Grodin. Thanks for your contributions. They would have been greater and acknowledged in a different way had you considered what was in the background playing on the television in some of your movies.
He's an all-time. The thing you really should do, I mean, you should definitely go watch the classic pictures that we just talked about, but also dig up on YouTube, watch him on Johnny Carson and David Letterman.
He is in the
top five late night show guests, if that is a category. I think it is.
You know, I threw that out to my cousin Jimmy and he didn't call me an idiot. I said top 10. So that means he I may have hit on something there. But he made the host uncomfortable, whether it was Carson or Letterman. That's all I'm there for. He's great. And it's funny, like 3 weeks ago, I watched him on Carson. He was terrific. I was pulled up. And then I watched like 10 clips yesterday of him on Letterman and Carson.
I'd love to hear Jimmy Kimmel's, because obviously he loved late night TV before he started doing it himself.
Yeah.
Richard Harris is the all-time funniest. I think he's Sir Richard Harris.
It's so hard though. Yeah, I know. I mean, the Bill Murray's the great,
Michael Keaton's always very funny.
Yeah. Michael Keaton. We can go
Steve
on.
Steve Martin is, I mean, but
Martin
Steve Martin,
Short
you would expect to be fun.
Too. Martin Short is like the classic, late night guest. He really is great. All right. Well, we could put together a list for that. Hit us up at, what is it? What's the email address anymore? TheExtraPointsGang@gmail.com. Give us your list of comedy greats as it pertains to late night talk show appearances. We like Grodin right in there, the top 10. What else you got, Dave?
Definitely in the top 10. -3. We'll do one for you tomorrow with to take the pulse of the Boston sports fan and the East in front of the East playoffs really getting going there. We'll see how Hench feels about all that. I do say, like we talked about earlier, go back and listen to Nick Costas on the earlier week this week's episode of -3 gangbuster stuff on New York City. We kind of go into some futures with the NFL, but also we discuss, we keep it to the Northeast, but I'd be interested, Sal, to open this up to the Extra Points audience. The next 5 years, because beyond that is ridiculous. And even 5 years in the future at this point is a little bit too deep into the future. But what sports town is going to win the most titles?
All right.
In the next 5 years?
I need to think about this a little.
It's very hard if you think about it.
The Extra Points Gang at gmail.com. We also have a hotline if you want to leave your response to that.
Ooh, or, even better.
Yeah, 818-208-1681. You know it's real, Dave, because I didn't say 555, you know, like they do in movies. 818-208-1681. Leave your feedback or email at us at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. We got Against All Odds coming up tomorrow. We're going to go over, I guess there'll be 6 NBA series odds out by then. Maybe 7.
You're letting Barry the Liar back on?
Well, how about that? He lied. He said, Barry, it's Harry, believe it or not.
It is? Oh, it is. Oh, that makes sense.
$1,300.
I didn't know why Harry was defending Barry as much as he was there, but okay.
Yeah, it's me crazy. People lying about how much they won. Well, that's you know what,
Dave, you know what you can say about Dave Damashek?
Yeah.
One, he's a handsome devil. But two, the no jive policy is in full effect. And that the no jive policy is no jive. I'm willing to wear it. I will wear it. I have not said a single thing correct, and you should bet against me at every
Well, what's the point of lying about how much you won? First of all, people ask me for a loan. I don't want that. I'll lie the other way, right? It's like, did you pay your taxes? Yeah, no.
It's the savvy country club golfer. You don't. It's not that.
That's right.
The youngsters are trying to get their handicap as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The savvy golfer is trying to get it jacked up. Oh, did I forget to put to enter my 79 that I shot there, huh? My handicap stays a little higher than it should be.
It's all part of the hustle. All right, Joel, Jim, give us our extra points. What was the best point, worst point? Joel, you're the positive guy of the two, right?
I'm not on Dave's on board with his idea of we should make a dream team of U.S. soccer. But bobsled, I think he's absolutely onto something. We should send our best athletes. In fact, I think Dave and the degenerate trifecta would make a great 4-man bobsled team.
No! We need two actual good people. But the two in the middle are irrelevant.
No, Harry has told us he is a fantastic athlete, no matter what the sport
then this
is.
Isn't it, no, Harry is the bobsled. Yes.
You've got the original Splash Brothers, the Sicoli Brothers being the pushmen, Dave Steers, South coach, and I'll see you at the Olympics, boys.
I like it. Harry's the blob sled. I like that. Let's do that. Herschel Walker did
not
this,
nice
right?
at all. Yeah. Herschel Walker did it.
Yeah.
Right.
And was he good? Were we good? I can't even remember.
I mean,
he didn't embarrass himself.
You should not. Your sport is a silly sport. Poker is the best example of that. Like, if Gabe Kaplan can go and be at the final table, then how seriously am I supposed to take your sport?
Right.
If Herschel Walker can decide on a Tuesday, hey, guess what? I'm an Olympic bobsledder now, then Dave Damashek's going to follow suit.
I know, if you fall out, you die, right? I mean, curling is one thing, and there's, you know, all the punchlines are exhausted from curling because you're sweeping.
Flying out of that thing?
You do hear about it, I think. All right. What was the 92 Olympics? What was that? What happened, Joel? Oh, he placed seventh. The team placed seventh? It was a 4-man?
That's right. It was a 2-man, and they finished in seventh place at the 92 Winter Olympics.
All right.
Not bad.
There you go. Take it.
It is really hard to imagine that that there are such things as like that there are bobsledding dynasties. How could anybody be? How could any country or any group or like a group of four guys be like, we're the best in the world? Like, how could you be that much better than anybody else?
They made a movie about the Jamaican bobsled team. All right, Jim, let's hear the negative. Worst point of the day.
Gonna have to give it to Dave's point of fixing sports in the middle of an ad read.
He didn't know.
How is he supposed to know? I was talking golf and bet boost and stuff like that.
Here, I have over my shoulder in a picture the star of Youngblood, the eponymous Dean Youngblood right there, played by Rob Lowe. Not a handsome devil. Pretty. That's how Hollywood would portray me. They'd use a pretty boy, but okay. And there's Jim over my shoulder. Racky. grotesque, unlikable, a villain to all.
Wow. There you go, Jim. Was it worth it? Right, there you go. That'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. And just a reminder to everyone out there, even though you may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites.
What am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? It's no way to live, Sal. It's no way to live.